Om Shanti and very good morning. So very warm welcome. Why I say warm? Because it's a bit cold out there, isn't it? So it's quite cool. Anyway, very warm welcome to this morning's special session with our dear respected divine Didi Jayanti, whom we all know is the, well, I give the official title and I say something else after that. Who is the additional administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris and the regional coordinator for the United Kingdom, Europe and Middle East, all the activities in this big region. And as you all know, Didi is soft-spoken, very gentle, humble, easy and light, but she plays a very key and multifarious roles in being a spiritual leader, a very dedicated spiritual teacher, an eloquent orator, broadcaster, well, I would say captivating writer, sympathetic counselor, and many, many roles. So you can see that she's very busy, and I'm very happy, and all of us are, she can be with us this morning. And we all know that she's also very much in demand as a speaker nationally and on the world stage. And she's an ardent promoter of values and virtues. And she is also very much promoting values and presentation, well known for her presentations and participation in climate change, in which she stressed the importance of change in human consciousness in order to bring about a change in the outer world. Well, in the company of the sweet nature and that elevated consciousness, one would feel to have the consciousness of being in the company of an angel of divinity. So let us put our hands together and warmly welcome Didi Jayanti. Thank you very much to be with us this morning. And she will speak on the topic, getting ready for the final chapter.
Thanks. Okay. Om Shanti. Baba emphasized this time in the Murali about being the point and also connecting with the point and then being able to put a full stop. So in a way, I think this is the final preparation. Why? Because I need to be fearless, because the last scenes are not going to be very pleasant ones. And Brahmins have hearts of compassion, and so maybe even if we are not suffering, we see the suffering of others and we get emotional. But if I'm soul conscious, then I see that I know what I have to do, and I'm able to give others that spiritual support through my vibrations, through my presence, or through my words, whatever it is that's appropriate at that time. The other thing is that if at that time I'm afraid for my life, how am I going to help anyone else? And yes, the body has to finish, dust will return to dust. We've been told this in all the scriptures, but nobody actually has practiced this idea of being detached from the elements of matter. And what Baba tells us to be soul conscious, it's to be detached from this prakriti, matter, but also it's the preparation to be free from the influence of matter from all around. Whether it's an earthquake or it's a tornado, who knows what's going to happen. Maybe it's going to be a fire that suddenly starts somewhere. You just don't know. But my practice of soul consciousness means I'm detached. It means that I'm not afraid. That is the most important thing that I have to practice. And so if today I see a cockroach and I scream, how prepared am I? Or maybe it's not just cockroaches, maybe it's tigers. Who knows what I'll have to face. It was very interesting. I think it was last year. COVID had almost finished and there was drought in Abu. And we had all the wild animals coming into our compounds. They had bears coming in. They had, I think, different creatures coming in. And this would be at night. And they would be looking for water and food. This is food. Just imagine being food for somebody. But it really is a serious situation. And so my practice of soul consciousness and detachment is going to help me at that time. It's going to help me, but it's also going to help everybody else around me. I'm not saying to Baba, Baba, keep me safe, keep me safe. Because Baba's come, like today Baba said, Baba's come to take everyone home. Everybody has to go. But I shouldn't leave in a state of fear. I shouldn't leave in a state of shock. What's going to happen? I should be able to fly home comfortably, easily, very happy that we are going home. And so to practice this consciousness of the soul means that truly I'm detached and I'm ready. I'll share with you one of the things that was shared in a Bhog message in January 1969. Every day from 21st January, Baba either came or Baba would send a very detailed Bhog message via Dari Gulzar. And 13 days is the period that they remember in Bhakti. But it's also very relevant because 13 days means that that's a time when family normally is having special prayers, special meditations, special gatherings, whatever it is they do in Bhakti. And so they're learning to send good thoughts to the soul that's departed. They're learning to deal with their grief so that they're not overrun by grief. And in Baba's system, any excuse for extra meditation is a good excuse. So we continue this practice of special bhog offering on the 13th day. So when it was Brahma Baba, they were offering bhog every day in Madhuban for 13 days. And those messages are printed. You can get them in book form, I'm sure, in English somewhere. But one of those bhog messages was Dadi Gulzar in the subtle region saying to Baba, people have been asking, what were your last thoughts before you left? And Baba laughed and said, it's only a question that Brahmins can ask their father. Nobody else can ask their father such a question. And Baba said, at that moment, there were three thoughts. One was firstly the battle that was going on between, how we use the term, I'll tell you the Hindi, karma bhog, karma yog. So karma bhog, the suffering of karma, and karma yog, you understand. Because Baba had felt heart pain, and that had been something that had gone on for some while before the final moment. But when that pain started again, that had been in the morning, then it had subsided, then again in the evening. After Baba finished the murali, Baba went to his room, and again they could see on Baba's face the pain. And they said, "Shall we call the doctor?" And Baba said, "No need," but they anyway called the doctor. They couldn't reach him on the phone, and so the only mode of transport we had was bicycles and a bullock cart. And a bullock cart was too slow, so Dada Vishwaratan went off on his bike and brought the doctor back on his bike. And meanwhile, 9:15, they could see 9 o'clock the class finished. Baba came to his room. Dadiji and Dadi Shantamani followed him. And by 9:15, they could see a little bit of pain on his face. And then it was as if the face relaxed and there was no more pain. So Baba said there was at first this tug of war between karma bhog, the settlement of karma, and the power of yoga. But the power of yoga won. And that's why they saw that the face was so calm and peaceful. And when I had seen Baba's face on the Monday, we left Agra on the Sunday morning, came here Monday morning, and Baba's face was very calm, very peaceful, a beautiful flower, a rose. And Baba's face had been surrounded by red roses, and everywhere were red roses that had come from Jaipur especially for this. So the face indicated that there'd be no pain at the end, but they saw this at that time. The second thought had been, I'm remembering all the children, but not one specific child, but all the children as the family together. Then the third thought had been, Baba, if you want me to come, I'm ready. If you want me to stay, I'm ready. And then the soul flew away, and the doctor arrived after that. And the last rishti had been with Dadi Kumarka, and so it was like Baba was handing over the legacy to her. And of course, the rest of you know. So my point is that in my final moment, am I going to be pulled by one individual? Which means today, if I haven't prepared already, I need to prepare. And the question I need to ask myself is, who am I dependent on? And what am I dependent on? And within the question of who, Laukik family, alaukik family, who is it I'm dependent on? And it's God's mercy that Mamma and Baba flew away, the Dadis flew away. And so yes, we have the family to support us, but not any one individual. If we'd looked at this question 10 years ago, we'd probably have said, well, we're still very dependent on the Dadis. We're still very dependent on Dadi Gulzar because she brings us Baba's messages, and she also is the instrument to allow us to meet Avyakt Bab Dada. So I'm sure many of us would have said that. I know that I was very dependent on Dadi Janki. So it's God's grace, God's mercy, that all the supports, the big supports of the Yajna, have all been taken away from us. And for me, I see it in that way, that without the Dadis, we've had to grow up, and I don't mean in age, I mean in stage. We've all had to say, Baba and Dadi, all the Dadis gave us so much, so much, so much, and now I have to be the proof of what I have taken from them, but also I have to give the return of what I've taken from them, which means being able to give to others what I have received. What Baba said in the Murali today, whatever is your dharana, whatever you've taken, then that's the basis on which you share and you give to others also. So this question about dependency, Lokik, am I missing anyone? If I'm missing them today, then what will be my condition if I don't know when the end is going to come? Not even in terms of the cycle, but myself. I don't know when my end is going to come. It's been a little bit strange over the last couple of years hearing of young people suddenly leave with heart attacks. Earlier we used to hear of heart attacks in people who were over 60 usually, well certainly over 50, but generally it was over 60. But today we hear of heart attacks in 35, 40 year olds, and whatever the reasons behind it, many different opinions, and I won't go into that, that's another controversy. But if I were to leave suddenly, or if anyone I'm dependent on leaves suddenly, how would I manage? I need to be able to have that faith in myself and faith in Baba that it's okay. Baba's told me that it's time to go and they've gone, but I have to be ready to go myself without anything pulling me or holding me back. Anyone or anything? Am I dependent on some type of food? Am I dependent on some type of beverage? Am I always thinking, oh, I want this, I want this? That's going to be an issue, because maybe I'm not going to have that, whatever it is I'm dependent on. But also, dependent on service. COVID was fascinating because we couldn't go out to do service, but Rama gave us a new toy and everyone everywhere started doing classes online. And some of us were more busy doing online classes than we were actually when people used to come to Baba's house. So that was a universal thing that happened. So we haven't been tested. Ask yourself and check yourself. If there is no more service physically possible, can I do so much mansa seva? Am I able to focus and concentrate and be content with that? Or do I need to run around here and there or feel the excitement of people coming to Baba's home and serving them in Baba's home? Because maybe none of that will be available for me. Can I just enjoy being with Baba? I always say, I'm too busy, I'm too busy, I'm too busy. This is why I don't have time for Baba's remembrance. But now, Dharma is saying to me, well, there's nothing you can do except manmanabhav. Just sit and focus and concentrate and see if you're able to do that. But you can see, if I've practiced being manmanabhav, then at that moment, I'll go to Baba, I'll focus and concentrate and stay with Baba. But if I haven't been with Baba, I've let other things, including service, take over. So my mind is occupied, my time is occupied, I feel I'm useful to others, I'm valuable in Baba's work. But all that is out there. Today Baba said, uplift yourself. And so I need to see to what extent I can make time. Even if I say I don't have time, can I make time So that then I have time to practice, 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 and have that connection with Baba, so that then nothing can distract me. Because that's the final, final preparation. So soul consciousness, connecting with Baba. And the third aspect, full stop, if I haven't forgiven others, I'm keeping myself in bondage still. I need to settle all bondages and be free. And if I haven't forgiven someone, I'm keeping myself in bondage. They are not keeping me in bondage, I'm keeping myself in bondage. If I've done something wrong that I need to apologize for, let me do it. But if I wait for an apology from someone else, I might be waiting till the end of the kalpa. I don't know. So whether they apologize or they don't apologize, they're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, they're wrong, it actually doesn't matter. What matters is if I'm able to put a full stop inside of me so that I can connect with Baba when I want to. Not just morning or evening, but any time I should be able to go straight to Baba and connect with Baba. So that then Baba can give me a signal about what I need to do. Like Brahma Baba asking Baba, if you want me to come, I'm ready. If you want me to stay, I'm ready. And so maybe Baba wants me to do something more in whatever is the situation we're in. I need to be able to check that and find out. And so I need that checking today. And then if Baba is wanting me to stay, Baba will give me a signal about where to go, what to do, how to do it. And I need to have that confidence that yes, it is Baba, not my sanskaras, not my attachments, not my desires that are telling me, go here, go there, go there. I need to be very clear. But that also, it's like, you know, when people speak to you on the phone, their voice changes a little. And it takes you a little time to get accustomed to the intonation and the quality of their voice and what they're saying. It takes a bit of time to register. And if you're in front of somebody and you know them pretty well, you know what they're going to say anyway. But when they actually say it, it's very clear. It registers immediately because you're familiar with them. So the more I've connected with Baba and the more I'm familiar with the way Baba gives a signal, understanding the signal, Baba's not going to talk in words. Maybe he will, but I doubt it. But Baba's actually going to give me a signal in my mind. And I need to be clear. It's my sanskaras, it's Maya, or it's really Baba. And so tuning my mind to Baba and being in tune with Baba means that I'll catch the signal in the way Baba wants to tell me and I'll be able to apply that in my life. So the second aspect, the point. And the third aspect, past is past. Absolutely willing to let go and not hold on to anything. Whatever I need to do to forgive, I'll forgive. Whatever I need to do to sort out in terms of what I've done, mistakes I've made, I've sorted that out also. There was a young woman and she was a very good Brahmin and she came to Dadi many years ago. And she said to Dadi, Dadi, I've been told I have multiple sclerosis. She looked fine, she looked healthy, she still seemed to be on top of everything. But she said, I don't know how much longer I have to live. And I want to clear a few things. And so she told Dadi a few incidents in which, yes, there'd been a couple of mistakes on her part, but also there'd been a few misunderstandings, and so she went through the list that she had, and she said, "Daddy, now I feel clear at the end of all that. Whatever it is I need to feel now in terms of settling past karma, I'll take it on board, it's okay, I don't mind the pain, I don't mind the challenges, but my heart feels very clean and I know that Baba's going to stay close to me." And that's exactly what happened. It took a couple of months, it wasn't instant, but it took months, and through that period, anyone who went to see her, they were able to just comment on her glowing face and her smile and how she shared things that uplifted them. They didn't have to say to her, "Oh, come on, you know, you shouldn't let yourself feel down in the dumps," or she wasn't, she was up there, very bright and light. And her family were not in Gyan and they lived in another place. They came to see her and they were amazed to see her condition. And then when she was moved to the terminal ward, the final place, again, she was so bright, so cheerful, the nurses couldn't believe it. And she was light, absolutely light. And then at some point she asked her family to leave, and then there were only a couple of Brahmins that were there with her, including Maureen. And she left peacefully in Baba's remembrance. So sometimes we say, "I'm not afraid of dying, but I don't want to suffer." I've heard a few people say that. Well, the suffering is actually the settlement. And Mama would say, when we saw Mama in pain, such pain that she needed morphine, this was in her last period, from September, and she left only in June. So from September, they were giving her morphine to control her pain. I saw her in September 64, and seeing her face, you could not have known that there was anything wrong with her at all. And she was giving time to people to meet. I was just 15 years old, but my mum had gone to class every day and said, "Can my children come and meet Mama?" And Mama had said yes. So, and when she felt the pain, Mama would say, "The settlement is happening. Better that I settle now rather than later." And so not to be afraid of anything, whether it's death or whether it's suffering or the settling of karma, better it's here rather than later. So the final preparation, soul consciousness, connection with God, and no fear, absolutely no fear at all. And within that is also this thing about forgiveness, because I never know what it is I've done that I'm going to have to face later on my side of mistakes, but also in terms of not forgiving others their mistakes. At that moment, it's that person who's in my mind, it's not Baba. It's that human image that will be there. And what I want is my last thoughts and the ones before, all of that should have been just Baba and nothing else. Somebody went through a bereavement recently and they said how they now realize that, and they've got children, but they're married and they've got their own children. So after the funeral, before the funeral, a couple of weeks, they were very considerate in taking care of the mother. And she lives on her own now. And she said to us that, well, none of them have time. They're busy in their own lives. And of course, the husband's gone and she's alone and she's 80 plus. And so she's saying, I have Baba. I need nothing else because I have Baba. And so do I have that feeling that if I have nobody else around me, no one, I have only Baba, I'll be fine. Today's slogan is Baba, my world? Or are there other people still around in my world? And if they are, do I see them with that vision of soul consciousness so that I'm helping them? Not that I'm dependent on them, but I'm there to serve as Baba's instrument. Very different attitude. So what I'm saying is not that you leave your home, but the consciousness that I'm in my home with, is it that I'm thinking I have to serve them and support them, or am I there still to take from them? There's many, many things that come in when we think about dependencies. Really, we are so dependent on each other, and yes, we are a family, and so interdependence is important. You play your role, I'll play my role, but if suddenly you're not there, can I play your role? If it's on me at that moment to deal with things, do I have the capacity to say, that's fine, I can also play that role? It's a big, big story about attachments and dependencies. And so I think the final chapter really has to be about this. Just clearing things so that my bag and baggage is packed. In India, you carry not only your suitcase, your bag, and now not so much, but I remember traveling on the Indian trains with a group from India. And you know what was part of our baggage? We had our own little bags, but part of our baggage was the tollies we were bringing to Madhuban, the buckets we were bringing to Madhuban. Buckets, yes. Plastic was not so easy to obtain, and in Madhuban they only had metal buckets. And so if you wanted to carry a light bucket, it was a plastic bucket you carried. So on the platform you'd see all these buckets. It was a funny sight, but, and also they didn't used to provide bedding except just in first class. And so you carried a roll in which there was something to put on the wooden thing, the bench, and then something to cover yourself. And so it was all a big roll, especially winter time. When you were traveling in from Delhi in winter, and I don't know whether any of you traveled in third class in winter time from Delhi, it was a big roll you had to carry. It had a thick blanket and quilt and whatever. So bag is one thing, baggage. There's a lot of baggage. And so what are the other things that I'm dependent on? And I have to clear it all today. People praising me, am I dependent on that? Well, there's nobody going to be around to praise me at that time. Everybody will be in a state of either be an angel up above, or they'll be in a state of turmoil down below. And nobody around to say, you did that beautifully, you did that so well. Just not possible, that's just not around. And so, am I dependent on that? If you were to make a list of your dependencies, first the gross ones, the food, the drink, the comforts, and then the more subtle ones, the people you depend on and what they do for you, and subtract that from your life and ask yourself the question, can I manage? And can I not just manage for myself, but am I able to manage if I have to take care of 10 other people? We were doing a calculation some years ago. If there's an emergency, some emergencies are short ones, some emergencies are long ones. And the short ones, we have to think about, maybe it's Sunday morning and Global House has 500 people there. Now, if it's a short one, okay, you provide them with breakfast, which is fine. You provide them with drinks, which is fine. Where do they stay for a night? Okay, they can all sleep in the auditorium. What else do we need? Okay, and if it's not just one night, maybe it's an emergency for a few days. Maybe it's an emergency for many days. You know, your mind starts wondering how much preparation can you make. And so this is where Baba said, okay, prepare for 6 months because you don't know how things are going to work out. Finances also. You don't know how long, when, how, but just to be sensible and to say, okay, let my life be simple, let my budget be very economical, so that if there's very little available at the end, I'm okay. I can remember Baba without missing anything. And so it's not the 6 months talk, more it's the preparation in here. 6 months talk, and maybe your neighbors know that you have food. And when they come to you, you can't shut the door in their face. You're compassionate, you're a Brahmin, you're going to share. And so what you thought was going to last you for 6 months if you're living on your own, and then your neighbors find out, even though you're on your own, you have things. So it may last for 2 days, 3 days, not 6 months. So the inner preparation, what am I dependent on? All of that has to happen now. In terms of service, Baba's been preparing us for this for a long time. Service through the mind. At one point, Baba asked the gathering, how many of you don't do Mansa Seva? And there were some, and they were honest enough to acknowledge that. And Baba said, do Mansa Seva at least for 5 minutes every day. It was a direct instruction. You must do at least 5 minutes Mansa Seva every day. And again, that's a training. Your Mansa Seva is going to keep you safe. Safe in terms of waste thoughts in your mind, safe in terms of support and help from everyone around you. You know, when Baba says, as in the beginning, so at the end, the 14 years of tapasya, 1 year was in Abu, but it was after the war and there were shortages of food, shortages of every type, and they had to manage. They weren't used to a cold climate, they had to manage, they survived, very little food available, all of that, no money in the bank or in anyone's pocket, so they managed. But the last several years of the time in Karachi, the first few years was sending out good vibrations to their families. It was a time of the anti-party. Well, the anti-party quietened down. Everything became silent. But then it was the partition war. And what did they do? Mansa Seva. And Baba said to them, not a single hair of your head will be harmed if you stay in yoga and practice silence. And that was the reality. 60 young women in one house, and the neighbors, the neighborhood, everybody knew that. There was nobody else around. There was no gun, there was no ammunition, there was no brother, no physical help available. The power of yoga, Mansa Seva. So my yoga power has to help me. My yoga power has to create a fort that nothing negative can penetrate at any time at that moment. But also, my Mansa Seva has to serve others so that they become peaceful, non-violent and calm for their sakes, but also so that we can also be safe. Mansa Seva means a lot of cleaning out. You know when Baba says, Shubh Bhavna, Shubh Kamna. Nothing but pure feelings and nothing but good wishes. Again, make a list. Is there anyone that I don't have good wishes for? And maybe it's individuals, but maybe it's a group of people. I can't stand, fill in the blanks. I can't stand atheists. They're souls, whether they know it or not. They're God's children, whether they recognize Him or not. I hate fascists. I hate communists. I can't say that. I mustn't think that, because that's going to spoil my mansa, bhavna, the feelings in my mind. And so pure thoughts, pure feelings, and then good wishes. Pure thoughts, Baba's thinking about service through the night and Baba's not even sleeping. Baba's sitting in yoga through the night and sending out good vibrations. So through the day, if I'm working and my mind is focused on something positive in terms of my work, no problem. But if my mind is not focused on work, but just here and there and this one and that one and the other one, I can't suddenly let go of that. I have to train my mind. You know, other people use this term, inner work, and we very rarely use that term because Baba keeps saying, it's easy, it's easy, it's easy. And then, but today he said, it's difficult. And it's not difficult physical work, it's the attention that's required continually. And so, are my thoughts with Baba? Are my thoughts with Gyan? Are my thoughts with service? The highest, Baba. The next, it's Gyan that's going to lead me to Baba. But then the other one, service. And that brings me into humans. If I let myself think about service, not in terms of concept. Today Baba's talking about how Baba's thinking about the sannyasis. Not one individual and how to serve one individual, that's different. And that could be just my attachment or my desire. But no, a group of people. And then I'm not thinking about one human face. So there's a difference. But to keep my mind engaged in pure thoughts, elevated thoughts. And that's Gyan. Think about the beauty of Baba's knowledge, the truth of Baba's knowledge, and go into the depths of that, churning the ocean. And so if I keep my mind engaged with Gyan, then no space for why, what, if, but, any of those things. And so really, just make sure that there's no human being occupying this precious, very tiny space that I have inside myself. So that clean out, the chit. What are the memories that I carry? Can I clean those out so that really it's nothing except good things there? Only good, sweet memories. Then, pure feelings all the time. You know, how come our feelings shift and change? Because my thinking changes and my bhavna for people, it's not for everyone, let there be good wishes for all. It's a phrase we use, especially when it's Diwali or Christmas or anything like that. We say good wishes and good feelings for everyone. But is that true? And how much more cleaning do I need to do for that? So that check and change, that's part of the preparation. Then mind is clean, yoga is strong, and I catch Baba's signals, but also I'm able just simply to send good wishes to everyone. And that is Mansa Seva. So although Baba uses the term frequently, and we also use it, we don't realize the depth to to which I have to go to really do the cleaning that's necessary. And then the last thing that I want to say, stability. Soul and God and fearlessness and Mansa Seva and good wishes, sort of forgiveness and everything. But the last thing, stability. What is it that shakes me? And at work, people are doing things that they shouldn't, and then I have to pick up the pieces. It's okay. I'm not doing it, I'm not picking up the pieces for them. I'm picking up the pieces so that I can stay calm and cool and know that everything is okay. And work is not just work on a logic level. There the guidelines and roles are very, very clear. But in Baba's work, the roles are never that clear, because one moment you're a teacher, the next moment you're the person washing up, which is fine. But it means that you have to play all the roles at different times, sometimes multiple roles at the same time. You're speaking to somebody, you're trying to do the dishes, and you have to get other things done. So remember, you've got 8 arms. Brothers also, 8-arm Shakti. And so if you're the 8-arm Shakti, then you'll get everything done. Very good. But we get shaken by little things. We think we're doing fine. But that state which is steady and unshakable and immovable, when am I going to make it that? Today. It's not tomorrow, it's today. Because by this evening, I'd set my heart on going somewhere, going to Baba's Rock. And then I suddenly find, for whatever reason, I can't go. It's okay. It's okay. You have to remind yourself, it's okay. I want to be here, but I have to be here. And so my body is here, but my mind is here. It's going to be a problem. And so to be stable and unshakable means to develop a state of contentment and a state of gratitude for what I have already, not for what I want or I hope for or I desire, but what I have. What do I have now? I have more than most, really. That exercise of gratitude is something I hope everybody has done at some point in their journey. What is it that I'm grateful for? And make 100 points, 100 points. And you'll see that you don't need anything else. Just be grateful. And that gives you stability. And be content. And in that state of contentment, yes, I know everything is fine. Baba, whether you call me or whether you tell me to sit like Baba, I'm okay. I'll be fine. I want to go. Well, why is it that I'm saying that? Is it because there's things here that I don't like? Usually, when somebody's got their heart set on going, I really want to leave, I wish I could go home, Well, that's because I'm rejecting something here. But that's not gyan. Rejection of anyone or anything or any situation is, Baba used the term agyan. It's making me distressed. And distress is one of the offshoots of anger. I think I don't have anger, but I'm getting upset. I'm getting distressed. That's anger. And so, truly, to be the one who has victory, I need to have that stability. So can I have that stability in little things today? Things are not going the way I want. It's okay. There's good reason. There was something I was trying to do 3 times and it didn't work out. And it was not for me, it was for someone else. And 3 times I tried and it didn't work out and it still hasn't worked out. And so now I'm trying to figure out What needs to happen to make that beneficial? And I think I figured it out, but there's always a reason why things are not working out the way you plan it. And it's not a big deal, it's a little thing, but it's not working out. And so I started asking, what do I need to do? Last few minutes to see if there's any question that anyone has. So, if you could have a microphone, please. Question? If you don't have questions, that's fine. Tell us your name and where you're from, please.
Brother Michael from London, England, Europe. Planet Earth, solar system. You mentioned cleaning the chit, the memory tract, and I'd be intrigued to hear more how to practically do that. You know, exercises that achieve that. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful for me. Thank you.
The most useful thing is to emerge the good memories. And the more you do that, the more the unpleasant memories fade away. And so you have to see what is it that's coming up when you're trying that, because there will be other things that are there from way back. And so when those things come up, then the way to deal with it is to firstly see if I can look at it from the perspective of Baba's Gyan, because whenever it happened as a child or whatever, I didn't understand. But now can I look at it and reframe it? And with Baba's Gyan, I can change my perspective on that. And at that moment, maybe forgive myself, maybe it's forgiveness of others, but also maybe it needs healing. And so can I take Baba's love and let Baba's love heal that so that now it's dealt with? Baba spoke about it not in a very detailed way, but Baba spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, and I've forgotten the exact expression that Baba was using. But Baba was talking about how when there's things from the past that come up, just let them dissolve in God's love. But first step, use Gyan also. Yeah?
Om Shanti. Brother Denzel from Canada. Om Shanti. A while ago, Baba had mentioned that Mama and Baba, Brahma Baba, would get a lot of work done during their dreams in terms of, because they were so busy during the day, they made most of their effort during sleep. So I'm just thinking, if you'd heard anything like that or you had anything to add about that.
Two stories that clarify that. Early days, Daddy used to share dreams of service, and sometimes it was forecasts, and she would talk about something that she dreamt of, and then it would happen maybe a year later. In one particular case, it happened about a year later. But those dreams would always be prophetic. They would come true. And then later on, she started not talking about her dreams. And then she'd say that it was something that, she said, it was as if Baba took me somewhere and did service, and I don't remember what it is, and I don't know where it was, but I know it was service. And so I know that that's another way. But she also used that expression when she was very unwell for a year and she wasn't able to be sitting up for more than about half an hour, and she couldn't manage any stairs at all. And during that period, again, we would see that she was very stable and content. And she said that, we asked her what she was doing, and she said again, I was just being with Baba, and I felt as if Baba was taking me somewhere, and Baba was serving, using me as an instrument. So I know that the more I focus just on Baba and Gyan and service and nothing else, nothing else. She wasn't eating anything. She was just drinking a little bit at a time, but it was like everything was coming to a standstill. And then she came to India and it was diagnosed and she got well. So then she did all the active service she did after that for many years. During that period, she said that Baba was using me as an instrument. So I think that we can also, the conscious effort is now, any other thoughts disappear, humans and situations, everything. And so in a very conscious way, Baba, Gyan and service. And then it goes on through into the night also. In Hindi, they have a lovely expression, din bite, so swapan beet. Whatever happens during the day happens in my dreams. And they give this classic story of this man who works in a shop, in a textile shop, and he's measuring yards of material and then cutting it up. And one night, this man who was doing that work through the day, he was sleepwalking. And what he was doing was picking up his bed sheet and measuring it up and cutting it up with scissors. And so his family was not very happy. But it illustrates what goes on through the day is processed in the night also.
Om Shanti, Brother Stefan, friends. So I would have two questions if there is time. You reminded us very nicely about Brahma Baba's last moments. Would you be able to tell us a few special things about Janak's departure? That would be the first question. And related to Mansa Seva, because I've heard many classes about that. So what would be your suggestion for most efficient Mansa Seva, if, you know, supposing that my mind is clear enough, positive? So suppose I hear about a catastrophe somewhere, or there is, for instance, the war in Ukraine, should I project my mind there or just go to Baba? And you just said that for Daddy said, I just go to Baba and he will take me there. So any insight? Thank you.
First, the day before Daddy left was a Thursday, and in the evening she was looking fine. She seemed to be quite normal. She had a little bit to eat, which she hadn't been doing for weeks before that, and so it seemed everything was better. And then she also asked to meet everybody, the nurses and the hospital staff, the doctors. So she didn't have the energy to give them Toli herself, but Hansa gave Toli and they took Drishti from Daddy. So she did all of that. And then in the night, at about 1 o'clock, there was a very violent storm, heavy noise, thunder, and then rain. And then around 2:30, they could see Daddy was struggling, so then they went to Daddy. Hansa was in the same room as Daddy. She called the nurse and the doctor, but the soul flew off soon after that. I think it was around 3 o'clock she would have left, I think. And so one thing, nature was cleaning out everything, and the whole earth was clean and pure through that water. March, it's not a time for rains in Madhuban, but it was March the 27th, 26th night, and everything was clean. And so when we went down to Shantivan for the final ceremony, everything again was very, very quiet and peaceful and clean. So that was one interesting thing. But also, I've understood since that just before departure, it's like a soul has settled a lot of karma, all karma actually. In these cases, the soul has settled karma and they seem to get better. But in fact, it's not a sign that they're going to start normal business again. But it's actually a sign that things are settled and they're now ready for departure. So those two things I've understood. So, and then, well, through Daddy's lifetime, it was nothing but Baba and Seva. And her final thoughts, definitely Baba. But she arranged with Baba and Rama to go at that time when COVID had started, just started. She would have hated living through COVID. I know that. But it meant that nobody could travel, and so she had a quiet funeral. and no flowers. You would have heard her say in classes, when I go, I want no expense for my funeral. No flowers, nobody to come from here and there. And I would translate for her and I'd be thinking, well, this is what Daddy's saying, but how is it possible? But it happened. So she probably arranged with Baba and Rama that it should be at that time. So every pure thought gets fulfilled. And then Mansa Seva. I must remember a situation only for 30 seconds, no more. So don't spend your time focusing on this one person who's unwell. There's millions of people unwell. So yes, I'm connected with this one. So I'm putting them in front of Baba. 30 seconds and then Baba. If I stay down here with them, it's my connection and karma. But if I go up above to Baba, then Baba's light is going to reach wherever there's a need and wherever there are souls who are receptive to receive it. So don't spend your time focusing on this one should come to Baba and so I'm going to send that soul Mansa Seva. No, 30 seconds, that's it. They bring him in front of Baba and lead them with Baba. Okay, last question. And it seems to be brother's turn today. Good, come. Usually brothers are the shy ones.
Could you please give some instructions?
Tell us your name and where you're from.
Sure. Pratik, I'm from Australia. Could you please give some instructions how to practice silence at my own? What things to be considered do's and don'ts?
You need a few classes. One simple thing to practice wherever you are, from 4 to 8, let it be just Baba and Gyan and not service. And I know in Madhuban service starts at 5 a.m. I know that in London we are on duty all the time. When there's a phone call that comes, it needs, you know, it's across the world that we get communication. So it's not always possible, but that's the aim. And for some, it is possible from 4 to 8. And then through the day, if you practice traffic control sincerely, then that time of 3 minutes of silence helps the next 57 minutes. And silence also means no waste thoughts. So it's not just not words, but removing waste thoughts. And the more I do this, then the more powerful my mind becomes and I'm able to have Mansa Seva more effectively. Okay. Thank you for your questions and enjoy the rest of your time in Madhuban. And I'm sure we'll meet again, maybe in Madhuban. Om Shanti.
Come on now, come into the light.